Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's all go see the elephant. I'm a rogue. Oh, wait a minute. That's tomorrow night. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. And please excuse the improvised intro there. We had a little trouble with our regular one. We'll get that taken care of, though. But the main thing is we are here. We are live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer, the American Adversary, Sunday evening, three-hour classic tour, that is. All right, because we are here live, we always invite you to give us a call as we reside here in the Relax in Comfort studio. And by we, I mean, of course, the firm foundation of the American Adversaries, one Aubrey Khan, sporting some American Adversaries Radio Network gear there.
Yes, good evening.
I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. And Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, of course.
How you doing? Actually, you know what? You can't see me because you know why? This is radio, not television.
That's it, and he's on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number.
Don't jump, Jeff.
If you would, not that kind of bridge. If you would like to be on the show, we welcome your participation. There you go. All right, so we got a lot to talk about tonight. The media and the Dems are closing ranks around Herr Mueller, which is beautiful. I mean, I'm going to tell you why here in a few minutes. Also, we'll talk about the president's immigration offering. I'm sure Mr. Aubrey has some comments on that, so that might actually result in some sparks. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also talk about what I'm going to call the tarnished history of the FBI. And we'll get into all of that as well. And then our divas are going to join us later on in the 7 o'clock hour. Patricia, that's our gorgeous lady of wrestling, Sunny Summerlin. And then, of course, Kathy Santomassino, who also runs, if you will, our Facebook page. And so please check us out on Facebook. She works hard to keep that up to date and informative and entertaining, just like we try to do the show. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. All that will be in the third hour of the show. Also, tonight is the anniversary. Today is the anniversary of the Challenger disaster.
Yeah,
32 years ago today it happened.
Where were you?
I remember explicitly where I was. I was actually giving a tour to the Marriott Hotel Group through our warehouse facilities, because I was working for a place called Special Effects Technology. And we did live productions primarily for convention clients who come to town. They do these big conventions, mm-hmm. you know, and we would do entertainment acts. Nobody would know where they come into town because they come in to do these things and then they go. And that's how Marie Osmond ran into my arms one night. Oh, that was nice.
I guarantee she has never forgotten.
Oh, I'm sure she hasn't, buddy. I know I haven't, but anyway. I expected her to be much taller. But anyway, that's another thing.
You were wearing heels that day.
It's interesting, too. Yeah, fine. Thank you very much. The interesting thing is, though, when I was a kid, like in junior high,
yep.
The girls would tell me I looked like Donny Osmond.
Boy, have you changed.
I didn't see it. I was going to say, I never
have
saw
you changed,
it. But
man.
I didn't argue with them. As long, you know, perception is reality, baby. That's why I first learned that.
if it brought the girls to you, more power to you, buddy.
Amen, brother. But anyway, back to the Challenger thing. I remember because I was giving a tour of the warehouse facilities where we kept staging, lighting, sound, scenery, mm-hmm. and stuff. And they were going to do a grand opening of that World Marriott down there.
Right.
And we were going through one of the warehouses. We had like three warehouses down there off L.B. McLeod Road. And one of the secretaries comes running in the door. It blew up. It blew up. And what blew up? We thought something in the facility blew up, right? She said, the shuttle, it blew up. So we walked out the door and could see still the twin boosters doing their, you know, sort of thing. Right. And then we went in and watched on TV. So we didn't actually see it live with our own eyes going. But as soon as I saw it, and there was a guy there that had interned at NASA. So he kind of, you know, he thought he knew about everything. And I said immediately, it's cold weather. It's too cold today to launch that thing. Oh, no, not one. It was something else. I said, no, man, it's too cold. It was too cold today. It don't get this cold in Florida. If you remember that day, it was very, very cold that day. It froze. It was a freeze that night before.
I wasn't here yet.
There was icicles all over the machine, the whole shuttle.
Well, that's a bad sign.
Oh, yeah. It definitely is a bad sign. And it turned out that, I forget the scientist's name, but when they had the hearings, it's a famous moment in the hearings now. He took a rubber O-ring that you can use for like kitchen faucet or something. It's essentially the same thing, just bigger version of it. Right. And he dropped it in a glass of water and pulled it out, and it was, you know, useless. Mm-hmm. And that's essentially what happened that day. Those O-rings froze, and they were not allowed. They have to be able to be flexible. They lost that flexibility, burned through that thing, and pow. So what we're going to do tonight is at the end of the show, we're going to have a special tribute to the Columbia astronauts. And also, while we're at it, we should also be remembering the Apollo 1 astronauts who died. And that was yesterday, I believe, was the anniversary of that.
Yep.
And here in just a few days, it won't be long before the Columbia disaster will be remembered. So tonight we're going to do that, and we'll play the launch sequence, and then we'll follow it up with President Reagan's remarks that night. So that'll be at the tail end of the show. So if you got something to do between now and then, you might want to do it. Make sure you get back to hear that later on as we remember the astronauts. Where were you? You were still in South Africa?
I was still in South Africa. I was working. I didn't hear about it until I got home and turned on the news.
Yeah. And it was one of those moments where the whole world kind of joins hands in sympathy.
Right.
For the effort and the astronauts, because really the space program benefits the whole world. And I think that was evident early on. I mean, even though it was driven by the effort to arm weapons, the effort to explore space, of course, is a human thing. And speaking of human things, did you see where, I think it's Cape Town, has got an extreme water shortage over there? They're asking people not to use more than, I think it's like a dozen gallons of water a day.
It doesn't surprise me, because in the last 20 years, they have not done anything to have infrastructure keep up with population growth. And so as soon as you get a drought, you have problems. I remember one year in Durban, which is where I grew up, we used to buy foam spray for the commodes, you know, and, you know, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. Well, you didn't flush it down. You only flushed once a day, but you'd cover it with this foam.
Okay.
That's how extreme the drought was.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well.
And now for dinner.
Yeah. Speaking of dinner, it looks like there's something different about you. What is it?
I'm becoming skinny.
Yes, you have lost a few pounds.
I lost 13 pounds this week. I did
13,
sign up.
Yeah, 13 in 1 week.
In 1 week. I signed up with Dr. Patrick St. Germain, Burn Fat Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear his program from 4 to 5 on Sunday nights on the station.
Right before our show, yeah.
Yeah. And it's been very successful. It's going to slow down to between a half a pound and a pound a day, according to what they tell me. But yeah, it's great. I'm eating between 600 and 800 calories a day, and I'm never hungry.
You're never hungry?
No.
That's the trick, right?
That's the trick, right.
To be able to be successful at this.
Right.
Because
there's
if you walk around feeling hungry, you're going to eventually give in. It's just a human thing, right?
Right. You know, there's a lot of supplements that I take, and I drink a minimum 64 ounces of water a day.
It's always good to drink a lot of water. That's about all I drink, except for that moonshine down here.
Cafe Positano. I noticed there.
Yeah,
but it contains water as well.
That's what I call purified water, right?
Yeah.
Ain't nothing going to live in that stuff.
Nothing's
going to
live in that stuff.
But you do. You look, I can tell.
I lost 13 pounds, 1 inch in my waist.
Do you have like a goal?
100 pounds.
Well, you're already 13% of the way there.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I see you're eating healthy stuff. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Before we get into tonight's stuff, you did the cognitive assessment test a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got two.
Well, you passed.
You were here, barely.
You know what? It doesn't matter. A pass is a pass is a pass,
that's
right?
That's right. Win is a win. Yeah.
All right. Two more questions for you.
Okay.
All right. I don't know if you're aware of it, but Nancy Pelosi sets her clocks 2 hours ahead. Do you know why?
She sets her clocks 2 hours ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi. I'm lost.
So she can be first in line to make a fool of herself.
She's got a lot of people ahead of her, that's for sure.
All right, question number two.
Okay.
How many Democrats does it take to fix a problem?
To fix a problem. To fix a problem, there is no amount of Democrats that can fix a problem.
Right. Nobody knows because they have
never
yet to do
it.
So.
Okay. All right. 1 out of 2. I pass. All right. Cool. All right. Thanks, Aubrey. And by the way, yes, folks, that Patrick St. Germain's diet has worked for a lot of folks. Those testimonials you hear on a show are real. That's not.
Oh, yeah.
You know. And take advantage of it. And we'll keep an eye on all. We'll keep. You know, I'll let Aubrey give us, not keep an eye on you, but let you give us updates as it goes along.
As Patrick says, I will see less
of you. There you go. You got it. All right. So once again, at the end of the show, we'll have the Challenger remembrance. In the meantime, as I said, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to start with the media closing ranks around Herr Mueller. And this is, in a way, I think this is a good thing. And it's for a couple of reasons. It's a no-lose situation for the president. And I'm going to tell you why. But it's going to have to be in the next segment of the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. And boy, I heard those. I live over close to the Orlando Executive Airport. And I was taking a little nap today. I like to get a little maybe power nap, about 2:30 or so,
yeah,
for that half hour or so.
2:45.
Yeah, and I'm over there about 2:50. All of a sudden,
I was on the old I-4 parking lot right out at the city.
You know
of
what
Orlando.
I'm talking about, right?
We were stationary. I watched them go over.
He's talking about the Air Force Blue Angels, who it was a flight. They were taken off from the executive air. I would have thought they would have landed out at the international airport, but they took Navy. I'm sorry. Thank you. And thank you, Jeff. Navy
you're,
Blue
you're
Angels.
You're welcome. Air Force, it's Thunderbirds.
The Thunderbirds, that's right. And so they were doing the flyover for the Pro Bowl over there. And it took me a few minutes to figure it out what it was. I thought it was some, you know, big executive going home or something, but it didn't, because I figured that they wouldn't land at that airport, but they did. And it originally was an airport, an Air Force airport.
It was. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But they circled and they came over the city of Orlando.
Yeah.
Right over the SunTrust building.
Did they?
Oh, it was spectacular.
Oh, but I hope somebody got some pictures of that.
I would have loved to, but I didn't.
Yeah, it wasn't a great day for it, but they had to fly so low to be under the clouds to be seen. It made for a good photo op. And they did their flyover, and then it was about 3:15. They landed one by one at the executive airport over there.
Man,
that's awesome stuff. All right, anyway, we got some awesome stuff for you. Yet to go here tonight, the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour coming right back at you.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find Sane Sleep Systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress, and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080. The most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, and you in midair. Send in the clowns.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for being with us tonight. Aubrey Conn and myself, Christopher Hart, here until 8 o'clock. And we got our divas going to join us in the third hour of the show. Okay, 407-774-8255 is the number. And if you want to be a part of the show, and the clowns were out in force today defending Herr Mueller and going after the Republicans over the memo and and their accusations that there's been shady things going on at the FBI and at the Justice Department. And, of course, they never read. They did read a couple of little pieces of just the vast volume of text messages that just these two people, Lisa Page and Peter Strzok, were sending back and forth.
Right.
You know, and I have to, hats off to McBath, because he kept asking, it both off the show and on the show, where do they find time to do all of this? And finally, Mike Huckabee said the same thing the other day on Fox. Where in the world did they find time to do all of this on the job?
They're government employees.
I know it. I mean, it takes time to text and stuff like that, right? And then, of course, they had to do their hanky-panky on top of that. So, anyway, the Republicans are amping up their concerns, their vocal concerns over the use of the... It's primarily about the use of the dossier. Now, the memo, it appears, is going to come out perhaps by the end of the week. The president has said he thinks it should come out. His top people are saying the same thing.
And the Democrats are saying no.
Of course, they're saying no.
I wonder why.
Pretty much without exception, Republicans are saying it should come out. There are one or two exceptions to that. But for the most part, they're all saying that it should come out. The public should know. And the House Intelligence Committee will vote on it this week, according to Chairman Nunez. And barring some unexpected event, at that point, it will go to the executive branch for their review. And the president's already said it should be released. So the only thing probably they would do, if that holds true, would be to perhaps redact something. If they consider it to be too sensitive to be released, and then it would be released to the public. I thought it would have to go back to the House for another House floor vote amongst the whole House, but that's only if the president rejects its release. Then the whole House can vote for it to be released.
And you would have to sign it.
And it would just be released. It wouldn't matter. It could be done without him, because in essence it is their stuff, but it could contain... Even though they wrote it, it could contain national secrets. And what they always go back to, the old sources and methods. We cannot allow sources and methods to be released. That usually is a coverall, an umbrella to try to get nothing released. So the I'm sure the Intelligence Committee is well aware of the concerns about sources and methods. The FBI has demanded that they be able to see it before it is released. Even though it would have no bearing on the release, they could perhaps make some recommendations as to whether this or that should be redacted. And it appears as though Nunez is going to allow that to happen. But that is not going to stop them from releasing the memo to the public. And even if there are redactions from the people who have seen it, like Trey Gowdy and others, McCarthy and others who have spoken about it, you will still get the idea.
You'll get the gist of it.
Right.
Yeah.
And once again, it appears as though it's about the dossier and how the dossier was misused to obtain FISA court approval to put certain people in the Trump organization under surveillance, which then resulted, of course, in the whole Trump organization under surveillance. It evidently started with Carter Page, who is mentioned in the dossier. But it turns out that what is mentioned about Carter Page in the dossier is false information and very misleading information. And so, once again, this cuts to the efficacy of the FBI and others at the Justice Department using this document, shall we call it, in order to get a FISA warrant approved and be able to do other things in this investigation, which led to the appointing of Herr Mueller. Okay? See, and this is why the Democrats have got to do everything they can, and they will, believe me, it's already started, to discredit the effort to reveal what actually happened at the FBI. And they're using the argument that, oh, yeah, you Republicans used to be big on law and order and law enforcement. Now you look at you. You're going after the FBI. You're going after the intelligence agencies. What kind of hypocrites are you?
There's a difference between law and order and criminal behavior within the FBI.
Right.
And
our form of government, you're absolutely right, but there's no way to verify any of what you just said unless we have effective oversight. And this is the point, and it's an effective, I believe, parry to that argument, and that is that, hey, the Congress has the duty and the obligation of oversight. We need to look into this. And all of this is very suspicious. It must be examined.
You know, if the Democrats were so interested in law and order, we know that collusion is not criminal offense. So why were they chasing it?
Well, now what it is they're chasing obstruction of justice.
Right.
All right?
Because
but it appears
collusion didn't work, nor did the sex thing.
But, you know, how can you obstruct justice when it is, in fact, a miscarriage of justice, which has put you in the predicament where people could even say that about you, whether it's true or not? You see? It has been a miscarriage of justice, which has put President Trump and all of these other people in this precarious legal situation. A miscarriage of justice. So how can any form of justice come of that? All right, we'll have to take a break. When we come back, we'll ponder that question on the other side. And we'll also talk about some things that Robert Gates had to say today. And once again, I don't think it's necessarily bad for the president that all the clowns are defending Herr Mueller. And I'll explain more in the next segment of the show.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Seeking to move past the shadow of the Russia investigation, President Trump intends to use his first State of the Union address to cite economic progress under his watch while pushing for bipartisanship with Democrats on issues such as rebuilding roads and bridges. The White House said Sunday that the president would point to a robust economy and low unemployment during his first year and the benefits of a tax overhaul during Tuesday's address to Congress and the nation. A man who fatally shot four people at a car wash in Pennsylvania was on life support on Sunday, while another woman suffered only minor injuries after hiding in the back of a car, state police said. The shooting at Ed's car wash occurred shortly before 3 a.m. in the Melgroff community of Salt Lick Township. That's about 55 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. This is SRN News.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Hey, Orlando, this is the AWA's illustrious Johnny Stewart. You know, people always ask me, what do I listen to on the radio when I'm on my private jet? I mean, it's simple. I listen to Orlando's WORL, The Answer, on FM 105.5, AM 660. My good buddy, Christopher Hart, he's on the American Adversary Show. It's like, you know, political professional wrestling. No, I'm sorry. Can you step off my plane and go back and sit and coach?
Intro. All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you're listening to the American Adversaries. Oh, I was going to say drive time. I believe this is a Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour.
Well, it was last time I looked. Yeah.
All right, that is Aubrey Kahn, minus 13 pounds. I am Christopher Hart. And
trying to gain 13 pounds.
Yeah. And we're coming to you live from the Relaxing Comfort Studios, 407-774-8255. And please don't forget to stop by Relaxing Comfort. Check out their massage chairs because they're going to be giving one away. And you'll want to register while you're there for it and then plan on being at the Relaxing Comfort store when we do a live remote broadcast there. And we're going to be announcing the date here real soon. And it's coming up in February. But you need to check these things out. Somebody's going to take one home or actually probably have it delivered.
Right. But at the same time, if they say they've heard about it on our program, don't they get a pillow?
That deal has expired.
Oh, man. Shame.
But they can register to win the chair, and the pillows can be won now as a part of our Thursday evening contest. All right.
So it's okay. Still an opportunity.
All right. Exactly. Exactly. Aubrey posed a question during the break there about equal justice. You know, how's it going to be made equal between how they treated Hillary Clinton and how they're treating President Trump? And of course, it won't be made equal. I mean, that's unfortunately not.
They've got to give him and his cronies, I'll use that word loosely, immunity. They're all allowed to be in the room with the interview with his lawyer. And no recordings can be made.
You're talking about an interview with Mueller, as opposed to how Hillary was interviewed.
Deposed.
Yeah, by the FBI on that 4th of July weekend, if you remember. Yeah, she was able to have Uma Abedin in the room, and no recordings, no note-taking, no sworn under oath, none of that.
And his letter proving his innocence needs to be written a month in advance.
Right. It needs to be. They need to be writing it now. In fact, that may be happening. And let me tell you what I mean by that. Robert Gates was on this morning. I believe it was the Chucky Todd show on NBC. And he talked about, you know, and we've posed this possibility on the show before as well. And that is that Mueller might, I know it's a long shot in a lot of people's minds, but he might very well come out with a report that exonerates Trump. Nope, there wasn't any collusion. And even though his demeanor in office and his way of executing his authority as a president may seem to be abrupt and, shall we say, ill-advised, it is nonetheless not corruption or obstruction of justice. Case closed. And as the way
you
Gates...
think he wants to keep his job that badly?
The way Gates put it is, when he releases this report, there's most likely a lot of people are going to be elated, and a lot of people are not going to be elated. I'll add, they're going to be deflated or dejected. Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's, I believe, going to be the outcome. It may not be as cut and dry as that, but I do believe that that is going to be the outcome. Ken Starr was on this morning as well, and he was talking about this. And now, of course, he's the one who did the Clinton stuff.
Right. So didn't they label him as a Republican shill?
Indeed, they did. And he is saying that there is, he doesn't see it. You know, he says what, in essence, he said it in terms of the obstruction of justice. He, in essence, said what I said, except he put it in terms of, how did he put it? I think I wrote it down here. He said, Gates, he said that he makes decisions in a business-like manner rather than, you know,
a political,
right. He said the decision that Mueller comes out with, now he's talking to, you have to remember, a member of the liberal media.
Yeah.
And he phrased it this way, the decision, and I quote, may not be the decision you expect. So it is not a done deal that Herr Mueller, even though he has hired the worst of the worst to investigate Trump, that makes it damn even near impossible that if he does, now let's just pose and let's sort of dream for a moment. Let's think real positively here. Let's just suppose for a moment that Mueller does do something like that. How in the world are the Democrats now going to be able to discredit that? Because they are doing everything they can to defend this man. And the Republicans are doing everything they can to vilify the man. And I believe rightfully so. But at the end of the day, with this group of, you know, headhunters and hatchet men and legal assassins going after Trump, if they don't come back with something really profound, it is going to be a huge deflating and dejecting moment for the whole resistance movement and the Democrats and everything.
You don't think they're already sitting around making up excuses? Like he was threatened with being fired?
Well, let's just say they better get at it, because I think that sooner rather than later, this thing is going to come to a head. Mueller's got to know that his credibility is really eroded by now.
Oh, it's totally questionable.
And this memo is going to erode. It's going to be like a flood coming through a sand desert, and a lot of that sand is going to get displaced.
And if we get the texts, that could injure him more.
Well, we've already been getting the texts.
Some of them.
Right. Yes, that's right. And so enough to, once again, as I said, erode his credibility, and that erosion is going to continue. And the longer he keeps this going, that erosion is going to cut away at his credibility and his team's credibility and anything, and also call into question any charges he comes up with and has already come up with, having to do with Manafort and his assistant, but probably more importantly, having to do with Michael Flynn, whose judge had to recuse himself from the case mainly because of stuff that's going to be revealed in this memo.
Let me
and
ask,
by the way, Comey and Rosenstein
and Lynch
and Mueller are, I believe, all going to be mentioned in this memo. It's going to put huge pressure on him to wrap this up, and he's got nothing.
Well, you know, it could also involve Obama and Lynch.
Another reason for him to wrap it up.
Right. So as to not expose them.
Right. You see?
Let me ask you this, though. If, by any chance, the Democrats were to win the House, you think they'll still go forward with impeachment?
Some of them will want to, yes. Definitely so. It's going to depend on the margins. It'll depend on the margins. If they win huge and have a huge majority, you better believe it. If they get by the skin of their teeth, doubt it. And, of course, it all depends on what happens in the Senate. And the problem for the Democrats in the Senate is they're scrambling to save those seats. Joe Manchin is a prime example. Joe Manchin does not want to be associated with Chuck Schumer and the far left wing of the party.
Right.
Because he understands that's poison to his reelection. So at least he's smart enough to realize it. Heidi Heitkamp is another one. Aunt Clara. Clara McCaskill, Missouri is another one.
Yeah.
There's 10 of them. Nelson's one, although Nelson's probably, I'd say, out of all of them, he'll be the toughest nut to crack.
Right.
Because he doesn't get out there. He doesn't get in people's face. You know, he kind of stays out of the limelight, tries to, you know, be milquetoast and neutral, although he's as liberal as they come.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got great name recognition in Florida. And
yeah, we recognize him. We all want to get rid of him.
And if you go to his, if you call his office, go to his office with a problem, they will
work on it.
They'll work on it. So, I mean, in that sense, he's been a decent politician. But the problem is, he's got the wrong politics. And this is a great opportunity to take care of that. But it's going to take some work to get it done. And as we were talking the other day on the show, we had a caller talking about this, and I've already been talking about it, and we're teaming up with the Trump 2020 Club. We got some big announcements coming up with that soon to get this done this year. You know, this is, we can't go into a defense or just get lax. You know, it every political victory or defeat is never the last one. All it does is set up the next one.
Correct.
Which is another reason why I say it's like professional wrestling. It's never a done deal. I don't care what the match is, what kind of grudge it is or whatever. It's never a done deal.
Campaigning and fundraising never ends.
And that's exactly right. And so we're going to be pushing hard. This is going to be a big election year, and we intend to try to prevent what you're talking about from happening. But given what's going on, as I said, if Mueller comes out with a report that is nothing like what these folks expect it to be, it's going to put a huge damper on that enthusiasm going into the fall. And then you combine that with great economic news, it may turn out to be a great day for Republicans this November, not Democrats.
One can hope.
We'll take a break, come back, take Alfred's phone call and yours too if you'd like to get in on the conversation. 407-774-8255. You're listening to the American Adversary Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour, and thank you so much for doing that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find Sane Sleep Systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress, and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello. Oh, you wished me well. You couldn't tell that I've been crying over you.
Don't you just feel so sorry for CNN? Oh, they're getting death threats, supposedly. And I don't deny it. I mean, in this day and age, I mean, just about everybody gets death threats. But the CNN are, of course, blaming it on President Trump and have the audacity to say that his words matter. As though their words don't matter?
Well, that is true, because their words don't matter. They're false. They're nonsense.
Well, unfortunately, that's true, but they still do matter to a lot of folks.
Know, they preach a whole lot of bovine excrement.
Yeah, and probably led to at least some of the thinking that had to do with that guy that went after those Republicans up there in Virginia, out there playing that baseball practice, remember?
Right.
All right. All right. Alfred's on the line. I want to take his phone call because he's been patiently waiting. How you doing tonight, Alfred? Thanks for being there.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Yes, remember when I called on Wednesday, I said I was hopping mad.
Yes. Yes.
Well, now I'm hopping glad with the visit that the president did at Davos, Switzerland, and how he was treated. He was a rock star there, and how they praised him. And how the leader of Uganda said he would be recognized, paraphrasing, he would be recognized as the best president ever of the United States.
And that was passed over by, of course, the mainstream media. They don't want to go anywhere.
No, they don't.
Partly because he's the president of Uganda, but he's also presently the president of the African Union.
Right.
And supposedly they're the ones who were supposed to be the most offended by this remark. By the way, he also agreed.
Yes, he did
with
agree.
The president, assuming that the president did say something like that.
He said he was right.
You know, yes. And a true leader of and has any compassion for that situation, which exists not only in Africa, but South America and other mm-hmm. parts of the world, would have to recognize that that is true. And it's, but the liberals don't want to recognize it because that is sort of their world, you see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is what they are supposed to be taking care of. And
look at Venezuela. Venezuela, what it's turned out to be with that socialist communist country.
And look what happens when you send the UN in. What do? End up raping the local women. So
yes, they make it worse.
Exactly,
they make it worse. They contribute to the problem.
You got that right, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
The president hit a home run.
He did. It was interesting to see the media's take on it too, because a lot of these people were telling the media, look. We may not like Trump personally, but we like his policies.
Well, Jim Acosta, he said, he was all rough. I didn't expect this, you know, the treatment that the president received.
They did not.
Praising him and everything else.
They did not at all, because most of those people in that room were globalists and liberals and progressives. Mm-hmm. But they're also very, very rich. And they didn't get to be very, very rich by sticking to their own principles. So they like the fact that the president is creating more. In essence, what the United States is doing is creating massive amounts more of wealth, which they intend to get their hands on at some point.
Exactly.
All right. So
who doesn't love money?
Exactly right. All right. Thanks, Alfred.
Take care. God bless.
Same to you, my friend. And that was. It was an extraordinary time for the president. And it's like every time he goes abroad, he gets these massive and tremendous welcomes.
Right.
And then the media tries to turn that into something negative. Well, it's getting harder and harder to do that. I want to talk, though, a little bit about the FBI and all of this with this dossier and stuff like that. Because, in fact, if you look at the higher levels of the FBI, there's never been really a stellar team there. Under J. Edgar Hoover, he used the FBI to surveil domestic people, including politicians, maybe even mainly politicians, so that he could use that against them. That's why he was never fired. The politicians were all afraid of him. Because they all knew he had something on them. Kennedy knew he had something on him. Johnson knew he had something on him. Finally, Nixon, who was the most boring of presidents, it was other than Watergate, there you ain't going to get much on Nixon, right? He ain't the kind of guy that dilly-dallied around. And so it changed a bit under him. But nonetheless, Edgar Hoover was never, you know, shall we say, above reproach. And then you got that other stuff that I ain't even going to go down that road. And then you had, of course, the FBI surveilling Martin Luther King and others in the civil rights movement.
Yep.
You had let's get to more recent, you had the Ruby Ridge incident. And by the way, the Paramount Network, and I don't pay too much. When I go to the channels, I look at the shows, not so much the network, right? You know, when you're going through the scrolling.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But Paramount Network is on AT&T. I think it's number channel 122 or something like that, 132. But anyway, I don't know if you get it on Bright House. But Paramount Network has put together a dramatization of the Waco, the Branch Davidian thing that happened during Clinton's first year of office, first few months of office, actually. And Ruby Ridge happened just prior to that. And these were massive screw-ups, to put it bluntly, by law enforcement. Went in and heavy-handed, did not handle situations in a peaceful fashion. It was done primarily as a show of force and ended up with a lot of people dead. In the case of Ruby Ridge, the guy's son and wife were killed. He was shot and gave up. In the case of Waco, of course, they did not give up. Some left, but those who stayed died. There was an ATF agent who was killed in the initial raid. And these were massive screw-ups. And it was primarily, if not exclusively, because of the people in Washington, D.C. that worked in the J. Edgar Hoover building. And the politics was involved in this. In the Justice Department under Janet Reno, obviously, was heavy-handed. If you remember the Elian Gonzalez situation down there in Miami,
I was just going to bring that up.
And these are not...
What happened to DACA for Elian Gonzalez?
Right, these are not stellar moments in the history of the FBI. It is an agency that all throughout its history has had incidents of people in the agency at the top levels of the agency taking advantage of their positions and using it for, shall we say, ill-gotten deeds. And this is It's a problem, a serious problem. And if nothing else, what comes should come out of this business with the dossier and the memo and all this other stuff is there needs to be, as Sheriff David Clark said on our show Friday, there needs to be a massive audit of the upper levels of the FBI. And I would go further to say that there needs to be some more formal oversight program set up where the FBI can't just stonewall or do things in such secrecy that those who are obligated to oversee the agency, which is mainly Congress, don't even know what's going on to oversee it. And this extends also to the intelligence communities. This, we're in a day and age where it's just too easy to do what these people have been trying to do. It's just too easy. Obviously, they could not resist themselves. And you can't blame it all on Strzok and Page, even though they couldn't keep your hands off each other. They weren't the only ones who gave in to the temptation to use the power available to them in order to try to influence the political process, both before and after an election. This is poison to our form of government, our very way of life. This is why we have a constitution, why we have an adversarial form of government. And I dare say, if it weren't for the fact that the adversaries won this time, pun intended, Hillary Clinton, this all would have been covered up, and it would have gotten worse. Do you think for one moment she wouldn't have done even worse in 4 years to whoever the poor soul would be that would have been nominated to run against her in 2020? Can you imagine what she was prepared to do to that person and the next? This is why this cannot just end at exposing these people and demanding they be put in jail. Fine, that's okay, good, yeah. But the main thing is we clean this mess up so it can't happen again.
We've got to clean up Washington, and we have to start in the halls of power.
Well, but yes, but we as citizens who have the right to vote are limited in what we can do in situations like this. This is why, once again, it is important that we have the right people in the right positions, but that they also do the right things while they're there, and if they don't, we find somebody else who will. By the grace of God, Donald Trump stepped up, and with a lot of hard work and prayers and and God's hand, we averted what I believe would have been
a disaster.
Not just a disaster, but it would have been not the end of the republic, but it certainly would have been definitely the beginning of the end. It had already begun. It was already, there was already a little something smoldering there.
That was part of Obama's plan.
Right.
Hillary was supposed to continue it. All right.
Right. Well, but we cannot get caught up in the personalities and ignore the overriding systemic structural issue, to put it in the scholarly way. We got a problem, and we need better oversight of the people who have access to this type of information and these tools, because I guarantee you what these people have proven is that human beings cannot discipline themselves in this situation. And I guarantee you, if something ain't done to fix the problem, it'll happen again.
It's bound,
because we're dealing with human beings. And being that we're out of time, we'll have to be right back. Hope you'll be with us. Right back. Hope you'll be with us.
We've got the right to choose it. There ain't no way we'll lose it.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We ain't going to take it. That's right. We're going to diss it out. Because we have the God-given right to do so. We're the American Adversaries. Sunday evening, three-hour classic tour, starting hour number two with the firm foundation of the American Adversaries, one Aubrey Kahn. Even though there's less of him here tonight, he's still a big man.
I'm more concentrated.
That's right. We got the concentrated version of Aubrey Kahn. By the way, in all seriousness, if you're getting ready to purchase a home or even sell a home or commercial property, or you've gotten a new roof, a lot of you folks have been getting new roofs out there. You need to talk to Aubrey Kahn. If you got that new roof, he can save you some money on your homeowner's insurance with the wind mitigation inspection. He can also inspect the air quality of your home. If you did have roof leaks and you're worried about maybe you got some mold or something going on, he can check that out for you. And, of course, if you're buying or selling a property, you're definitely going to want to know what you got or what you might be getting into before you do it. And that's Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254, Orlando's home inspector. .com. And you can go to our website and find his ad. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. Click on that and it'll take you to OrlandosHomeInspector.com. All right. That's Aubrey Kahn. By the way, do you still have any family in South Africa, in Cape Town, thereabouts?
I have my favorite mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and her family.
Your favorite mother-in-law? You got more than one,
dude? No. No, but she's my favorite.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. All right. So, we were talking about this whole business with Herr Mueller and the firing, and the big deal this week was Trump wanted to fire Herr Mueller. It's interesting, too, because about that time, we were, talking about the question was, can the president legally fire the special counsel? And we explored that on the show, and he can. Legally speaking, he can. But I went on to say it'd be, politically... at least a nightmare, that's for sure. But I also said at some point it may come to a point where the president needs to decide if the political price is worth paying or not. Well, at that time, he was contemplating doing it. And he should, because of all the conflicts of interest, not just with Comey himself, but also with his team, and also the way this whole witch hunt came to be with the dossier and Comey and all of that. And he chose to not at that time do it. And I believe that it's going to be the best decision, because at the end of the day, I think Mueller's going to come up pretty much empty handed, and that anything that he does come up with is now tremendously tainted. And I don't know why. I guess maybe there's not been a new judge appointed yet. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about why Michael Flynn hasn't recanted his confession. And, I know that one reason why he did it was because he wanted just to be through with the whole mess. But the bottom line is, if I was his lawyer, I'd be saying, man, we need to fight this. We need to fight this guy, because... As the legal phraseology is, this is fruit of the poison tree. In other words, the information that they gleaned to go after him was gotten by ill-gotten means. It's like getting evidence on a suspect without a warrant in a situation where a warrant is called for. A judge throws that evidence out, you can't use it.
Right.
So you would think that a judge who's a real judge and cares about real equal justice under the law would throw out even his confession, wouldn't even allow him to confess.
You probably find Mueller would handpick the judge.
It's not up to him. It's up to the judicial circuit.
I understand that.
Right.
However.
But, yeah, the inside game going on there. That's why I said a real judge. One who is committed to the law, okay, which is what judges are. They and lawyers are what they call officers of the court, officers of the law. In other words, it's up there, up to them to be impartial and uphold the law and all this nice stuff, right? Even more so than police agencies. And there are obligations that come with that. And at least in this case, that judge felt the obligation to recuse himself. So, as I said, any judge who really cares about the rule of law would throw out that confession and throw out the charges while he was at it for the very reasons I just said. And it may yet come to that. I mean, you have to consider for a moment. Did you really think Donald Trump was going to be elected president? Now, I thought he was. But a lot of people, and I was hesitant, though, to say it on the show. I didn't want to jinx it. I didn't want to do anything to sort of upset the apple cart. But you could tell that I was for the guy. There was nothing, no question about that. And I thought he had every great chance of winning the election. And thought he was going to win. But, you know, I had my doubts. And I've had my doubts about Mueller. But wouldn't it be, and it might not be just as good as election night, but wouldn't it be sweet? You talk about how sweet it is if Mueller does issue a report that exonerates Trump and basically puts an end to this whole nonsense. And see, this is what I think may be in Mueller's mind now, that this has gotten so out of hand that he needs to end it. And he needs to end it in a way that will actually end it. And if he ends it, his investigation with a report that can be used to go further after Trump, that doesn't end it. And it doesn't end the, shall we say, the backlash that will happen from that. And I think it should be clear to him now that that backlash will only grow if he comes out with a report that has no real evidence but tries to lay out a case for impeachment. Because, see, we're dealing with two different things with Mueller. We're dealing with the legal investigation, but as you mentioned earlier, there is the specter of a political attack in the form of impeachment, which doesn't require the same level of proof as a legal investigation does. A legal investigation is, you know, without reasonable doubt. A political investigation is lots of reasonable doubt.
Right. Exactly.
All right. So, but that's why I say, if Mueller doesn't end this in a way that actually ends it, finally, that's it. Okay, Trump's exonerated. Let's move on. He's going to cause a constitutional crisis at a time and about things that I don't think he's going to want to cause a crisis over. We're already finding out things that the deep state does not want us to know. And the further they push this and the harder they push Trump, the more likely it is more stuff that they don't want us to know is going to come out. Not less likely. The deep state needs to end. This is the beautiful part. The deep state, for their own survival, needs to end this. They need to end it very soon. And they need to end it in a way that Trump is exonerated. Because it has always been a witch hunt to begin with. And it is now their survival at stake. You see, I think that there are now some people in the deep state who are having some rethink about this. That, lo and behold, we don't want to be Ahab. We don't want to be so driven to get this whale that we end up destroying everything that we have built, that we're all about. So their own self instinct towards self-preservation is going to more and more build the pressure to end this thing and end it in a fashion that really ends it.
I don't think that's going to make any difference because Trump is going to end it anyway. He's going to get rid of the deep state. He's going to go for them. What? He's going to get rid of them. But I'll say this. Mueller needs to be careful. And he might have to make one of the conditions of his coming forward and exonerating Trump with the truth that he goes into the witness protection program because we know what Hillary will try and do to him.
Yeah. Well, she's the other side of this.
Exactly.
That is all being relooked into, which is once again why I say that I'm sure it's dawning on some of these folks right now that the harder we push, the more stuff is going to happen that we don't want to have happen. So we need to quit pushing so hard. And that's why you were absolutely right, that Trump wants to drain the swamp. He wants to do
it. And he's going to do it.
And what they're beginning to realize is that they are making it easier for him to do it. And that their efforts to get rid of him have not succeeded. And it's going to be the old question, do you keep throwing good effort after bad, or do you cut your losses and run? And I believe that more and more of them are going to come to the conclusion that let's cut our losses and run and save what we can. Because if, once again, if they keep pushing this stuff, more stuff's going to come out that they don't want to come out. And that's what's being made clear by this memo and all of this stuff. And I guarantee you, this memo comes out, you're going to see a fairly quick resolution to this whole business. And it's for the reason that I'm talking about. It's dawning on these fools that they are Ahab. They may not see it in those literary terms, but it's dawning on them that they are beginning to jeopardize that which they don't want to lose. That's the beauty of it. That is the absolute God's beauty of this. But at the end of the day, I think it's too late. I think they have already sort of let the genie out of the bottle, the worms out of the can or whatever. And I believe it's kind of already too late. And that's the beauty of it too. All of this is actually going to make it easier for Trump to drain the swamp.
And after that, go off to Action for America.
There you go. The smart thing for them to have done would have been to let it go. Let it go. Trump was willing to let it go with Hillary and all of that. They should have let it go.
They would have all
been better off.
Been better off.
Maybe. Maybe we will yet be better off after all of this rigmarole.
I think we, the public, will be better off,
yes,
once,
because this has
all come to light.
It's helping to drain the swamp. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got a couple of phone calls. We'll take them and yours as well at 407-774-8255. You're listening to the American Adversary Sunday Evening 3-Hour Classic Tour. Don't forget, Armed American Radio joins y'all after us tonight at 8 o'clock. And I'm sure they'll have a lot to say about the SHOT Show. They were at the SHOT Show all week long out to Las Vegas. All right, we'll be back.
Mattress stores are all crazy. And they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find Sane Sleep Systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress, and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
All right, a course, that's the music to the TV show The Fugitive, a Quinn Martin production. Quinn Martin, they did a lot of great shows. He did a lot of great shows, I should say, back then. Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. The Fugitive. Yeah, we got some fugitives running through the Justice Department, unfortunately.
Well, let them keep running. But let them run all the way out.
That's right. All right, let's run over here to the phone lines and take a couple. Bo, you're up. How you doing tonight? Thanks for calling.
Okay, Chris, Aubrey. Two-part question. President Trump and Mr. Herb Mueller, do you think it's wise for the president to go before him and his band of merry men to testify? And if you do, do you think it's going to hurt Mr. Herb Mueller? That's a simple question from Bo tonight. Great show, guys. Keep it up.
All right, thanks, Bo. And I'll answer his question in terms of should the president testify in front of give testimony to Herr Mueller and his band of witch hunters. Here's the situation. He's going to have to do something. If he does not agree to sit down voluntarily, Mueller can subpoena him to sit before the grand jury, which has already been impaneled. The grand jury situation would be worse for the president because he would be in there with no lawyers and his only recourse would be to claim the Fifth Amendment to try to protect himself. So I believe that the president will give an interview to Mueller and probably one or two of his deputies, and he will have lawyers present and there will be parameters, but I believe the president wants to have his say. I believe the president wants to sit there and look Herr Mueller in the eye and say, I did not collude with the Russians. And I don't know what you found with these other people, but I did not collude with the Russians. And as far as firing Comey, it's because I thought he was an SOB or whatever. I thought that what he was doing was not good for the country. And once again, the president really has nothing to hide. What he has to be careful of is these witch hunters tricking him. And that's why it would be better if he sat down in a voluntary situation where he could have his lawyers there and parameters already drawn out. Because if he goes in front of a grand jury, that's going to be a no-win situation. So that's my answer to Bo. So but the president, I think that, look, the president is, he's been in more lawsuits than I got hair left on my head. And so this is not an alien situation to the man. Okay. And so does that mean that he's above making a mistake? No, but it means that he knows what he's doing going in there. He's been there and done that. So, and believe me, dealing with people up in New York and lawyers up there and prosecutors and stuff, I mean, these people, he's going to, let's just say, I don't think it's going to be a surprising situation to him. So I think that, once again, he will, and it will be a situation where it's not in front of the grand jury, and he'll have his say, and he'll tell Mueller what he's been telling us all along, and they'll be asking him other questions that, once again, will not amount to a hill of beans. So we'll see what happens, but I predict that the president will interview with him, and it'll probably be fairly soon, and it will probably happen and be over before it's announced. Maybe. That would be the way I would do it. Let's go to Paul and take his phone call. Thank you for calling, Paul. We appreciate you being there as well.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Excellent, Paul. Thanks. Go ahead.
I just want to know, is this the lose 50 pounds in 50-second diet program with Aubrey Khan?
No. This is not amputate your leg at the hip. No.
Because I'd like to enroll my wife and my mother-in-law in the program, and I think they qualify for the 2-ton discount.
Uh-oh.
I hope they're not listening.
I was going to say. I hope
they're not listening, Paul. Because I will attend your funeral otherwise.
But hey, I tell you what, it works. I can see it in Aubrey already, man. It's go ahead.
It's noticeable.
It is. It is indeed.
Oh. Yeah, I've lost an inch in my waist already.
Yeah, he was coming up the stairs and his pants fell down around his ankles. I said, my God.
Well, that's the way he's always been, so don't make a big deal about that.
I'm a flasher, huh?
That's the first time it ever happened on the stairs anyway.
first time you've seen it, that's all.
That's all, yeah. All right.
Now,
go ahead.
The reason I call tonight is I just want to remind you of something that you already know about people, Democrats, Republicans, whatever. All these people that are not willing to accept Donald Trump as president, all these people are not willing to accept moving on with Donald Trump as president. There are always going to be people, no matter how hard you try, they will never ever believe the sky is blue and the grass is green. And there are just some people that you cannot do anything with. You just have to shrug your shoulders and move on.
Yeah, that is true. But you know, Paul, these people that are making all this fuss about not my president, they're the same people that were saying, Obama won, get over it.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, but Paul, you're absolutely right. The way we say it around here is that people's perceptions are their realities. And when it becomes a reality, it's very difficult to change that perception. We're in the business of trying to change perceptions, but we're also in the business of trying to hone perceptions. And what I mean by that is make those perceptions, which are basically correct, even more sharp and more correct. So it's, you know, yeah, you're right. We got to pick our battles, and there are some who are lost causes, but at least maybe we can plant a seed, and you never really know until you try. But yeah, we're not here trying to, with the illusion that we can convince everybody. But the reality is we can convince enough. And that's what we try to do, given the reality that you're talking about there.
And the other thing you got to remember is Democrats are entitled to their opinions, right, even if they're wrong.
Even if they're wrong, that's right. But the thing that we have on our side is that we work with the truth, you know, and the truth stands tall and strong, and it is they who have to, you know, blindly go about going around it rather than accept it. And for those who choose not to do that, it's a far easier path in life. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you being out there.
Hey, I think I lost a pound just listening to you guys.
That's a good thing. Keep it up. Listen more. You might lose more.
I was going to say, I am certainly capable of talking long enough for you to miss a meal. That's a fact. All right. God bless you, Paul. Have a great evening, man. Thanks for being out there. Okay, yeah, 407-774-8255 is the number. Just a last couple of things about Herr Mueller before we move on. As I said, the problem is that we have a situation where our intelligence community, including domestic and foreign intelligence, has such capabilities, and so many people now have such easy, evidently, access to it, that we need to relook at how we watch the people who are watching us, because that's what it really boils down to. What it really appears is, though, is a man who, yes, decided to run for president, but nonetheless a citizen of the United States, had his rights violated simply because people in agencies who had access to this stuff didn't agree with his politics. That's the bottom line here, ladies and gentlemen. And anybody who has any modicum of concern for our form of government and our way of life, it shouldn't matter which side of the aisle that you are on. Just think if the roles had been reversed.
Right.
Now, I know Sheriff Clark made an excellent point the other day that it wouldn't be likely that a Republican would ever do something like this, but it could, perhaps, at some situation. But the bottom line is, I mean, George W. Bush gave the intelligence communities far greater power, right? So, hey, what goes around can definitely come around. All right, We'll leave it at that. We'll take up the immigration offering by the White House in the next segment of the show. Don't forget, we offer for you to like us, please, on Facebook. It's a weird way of putting it, isn't it? On Facebook. It's a weird way of putting it, isn't it? Anyway, that's American Adversaries on Facebook. We'll be right back. More together, stretched by
you. With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Afghan authorities have raised the death toll from Saturday's suicide bombing in Kabul to 103 as hundreds of people gathered for funerals or awaited word of loved ones outside hospitals and morgues. The attacker, driving an ambulance filled with explosives, was able to race through a security checkpoint by saying that he was transferring a patient to a hospital. The explosion damaged or destroyed dozens of shops and vehicles in the heart of the city near government buildings. Another 235 people were wounded. President Donald Trump intends to use his first State of the Union address to cite economic progress under his watch while pushing for bipartisanship with Democrats on issues such as rebuilding roads and bridges. The White House said that the president would point to a robust economy and low unemployment during his first year. More details at srnnews.com.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepard, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Ho! Hey, folks, this is pro wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I listen to the American Adversaries. Tough guy!
All right! That's El Hacksaw! And Jeff was just reminding me that the WWE is holding their annual Royal Rumble tonight to set up WrestleMania matches, and the original winner of the Royal Rumble, the very first Royal Rumble, was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And tonight, the ladies are having their first Royal Rumble, right, Jeff?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we'll have to keep our eye open for the results. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I am Christopher Hart, along with Aubrey Kahn, and you are listening to the American Adversaries Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour, coming to you from the Relax and Comfort Studios. The number 407-774-8255. Don is next. How are you doing tonight, Don?
Hello?
Hello, Don.
Hey,
how you
Don.
Doing tonight? Thanks for calling.
Hey, I wanted to tag on to what that last caller said. And I always tell these never Trumpers who say, not my president, I always tell them, then you don't believe in democracy. And they, of course, will say, yes, I do, but... I say, no. Democracy means you don't always get your way. What you believe in is dictatorship by you under the guise of some democracy, but they don't believe in accepting the other person's opinion.
You know, you're absolutely right. And it's mainly a sign of immaturity that they just can't accept reality. But it also is a sign that that they are not ready for real democracy, because I remember seeing this special on, I believe it was on PBS. It was a long time ago. It was about how they still, to this day, up in states in the far northeast, still do more of a pure democracy, where the town, these small towns, will get together in the meeting hall and they'll discuss an issue and the whole town will vote on it. And they followed this town through. They were voting on a fire truck, whether they should get a fire truck or not. And I can't remember how the vote came out, but afterwards they talked to this man who was on the losing side. And they said, well, how do you feel about that? I mean, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to accept it. He said, because in order for our system to work, you have to be willing to lose sometimes. You're not going to win every time, and you have to be willing to accept that. You have to be grown up about it. And I must say, that's why we started doing this show, Lair and I, because we wanted to tell people, yeah, Barack Obama's president of the United States, but we can get over that, and we can overcome it and be more positive. In other words, look for the victory instead of being stuck on the defeat. And so you make an excellent point.
But I'm not going to let them slide on this whole maturity thing. They simply do not believe in the other person's opinion.
No.
End of it. They do not believe in democracy.
No, they do not. They do not believe in freedom of thought or speech either while they're at it. Hey, hey, Don, have you ever been to Cafe Positano?
No, I have not.
Would you like Italian food?
Oh, I love it, yes.
Well, I tell you what, stay on the line and give Jeff your address, and I'm going to send you a gift certificate for $20 to Cafe Positano.
Oh, sounds great. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for the excellent phone call, and thanks for listening.
And while you're doing that, Don, you might want to try and knock some sense or scare the heck out of these folk, whichever way you want to think about it. Because next time they say, Trump is not our president, you turn around and say, okay, so you're not a U.S. citizen. Let me see your green card. And if they don't have one, you call ICE.
That's it. Okay, thanks, Don. Stay on the line.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, and we'll take Diane's phone call next. Hey, Diane, how you doing tonight? Thanks for being out there.
How, Aubrey? Congratulations, Aubrey, on your 15 pounds. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, I tell you what, he's off and running.
I just wanted to lighten things up. Have you seen the commercial for the Trumpy Bear?
No.
No, I have not. This is a TV commercial?
Yeah, it's really cool. And it seems like it's mostly military people promoting it.
Really? So this is you mean it's a real Trump teddy bear-like thing?
Yeah, it's a big bear, and you can buy it.
No kidding. We're going to have to get one for the studio.
It's pretty cool. They show him on the golf course, and the guy goes, you know, I do better on the golf course with my Trumpy bear and all kinds of things.
Wow. Well, I can see what we're going to get is we're going to get YouTube videos of Trumpy bears doing cool stuff and Trumpy bears doing stuff that we don't want to see Trumpy bears doing, probably.
I thought it was pretty funny.
That is pretty cute. I like that. I'll be looking for that. Yeah, definitely. Cool.
And you know what I believe democracy is?
What's that?
Responsibility.
That's a big part. That's what we're talking about.
Huge.
That's really what we're, in essence, talking about here, taking responsibility. And these folks don't want to take responsibility.
They don't know how.
No, they sure don't.
Well, they're not adults. That's the problem.
It's a lot. And that's you know, I remember this guy, he was a counselor, and his quote that he used to tell everybody, his saying was, you know how you know you've finally reached maturity? You take responsibility.
Right.
And if you're not taking responsibility, you ain't there yet.
Right.
No.
All right. No. All right. Thanks. Thank you so much, Diane. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you guys.
All right. Appreciate you being there.
Have you seen what Governor Andrew Cuomo had?
Trumpy bear.
Right. Have you seen what?
I want a Trumpy bear.
All right. We'll get you one. All right. Have you seen what Governor Cuomo's doing?
You tell us. I think I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
He's suing Trump.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say something else. About what?
Tax cuts.
Oh, yes. I did see that. Yeah.
Are hurting illegals.
Actually, he's saying they're hurting his state and
well, his state is full of illegals.
Right. He's not the only one. There are, I think, three states now. Connecticut, I think, is one. And I'm guessing, but I think it was Massachusetts is the other one. Anyway, three northeastern states. Maybe it was Illinois. Anyway, they are suing the president because of the tax cut. Sorry,
it's going to affect the fiscal health of the state.
There's no ground. There's no legal standing for them there. That's a sorry, Charlie. That ain't going to fly. So, no, I thought you were going to talk about he was going to be providing free tuition for the illegals.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. But they do that anyway.
Yeah.
So does California. So does Washington State.
All right. So let's talk a minute about the president's offering to solve the DACA problem. Came out. They said they were going to announce it tomorrow, but actually they got out last week. And it has stirred some controversy on both sides of the aisle. So in some ways, I guess it's a pretty good plan if it's got everybody PO'd. Certainly not everybody, but the more adamant wings of each party don't like the plan. On the left, they don't like it because it would do away with chain migration. It would do away with lottery immigration. It would also do build a wall. Give Trump money to build a wall. They don't like any of those three. Although they do like the part about DACA, they want more than 1.8 million. Now, that 1.8 million is what people on the right don't like about it. People like Mark Levin, Ann Coulter, and others, many others.
I don't like even one.
Well, and that's the thing. They don't like that 1.8 million, as Aubrey said, even one of the DACA recipients being given what the president is giving them.
Amnesty.
Well, you can call it amnesty, and that's fine, but the bottom line is they would be in this country legally, yes, but not as U.S. citizens. They would be here legally and could become a U.S. citizen after 12 years if they wanted to. They wouldn't be required to. It would not be automatic. They would still have to go through what you and others, Aubrey, have gone through after 12 years of not being arrested, of having a job, of not being a burden on society, of, if they're still young enough, going and graduating high school and those requirements.
Where's their background checks? Where's their financial checks? Where are their health checks? Where is it that they have to sign an affidavit saying that they will not be a burden on the state and will not take any federal or state assistance?
Having to do with the first part of your question, the 800,000 or so who are signed up have already been vetted, okay?
And they've all been getting assistance and medical and stuff.
Not all of them, no. As a matter of fact, not all of them, not even nearly all of them, because these are the people who signed up. Now, the president is offering for another million who did not sign up, but who could have signed up, to stay, but they would have to undergo what you just spoke of, that vetting and that the process that you just spoke about. And they cannot have committed crimes and stuff like that. And in terms of being a burden, what the president is doing is he's trying to take people who came here, not of their own decision, of their own accord, but who are here, and he's trying to incentivize them to become Americans. Many of them are already there. Many of these, I'm not saying everybody, but many of these folks did come here as children and only know this way of life. And technically speaking, no, they're not Americans, but behaviorally speaking, yes, they are. But you have a lot of them who are young, you know, unfortunately, many of these dreamers have gone through our school system, which has convinced them that they are deserving, that they are, I guess deserving is the right word, that they deserve whatever we have that they want. And that therefore...
That's very liberal of them.
Exactly. And I'm saying that's part of the problem with the Dreamers, is that they were raised and educated by us.
And they need to go back well, to where they came from.
Well, they basically need to be re-educated. Now, here's the problem, okay, with sending them back. It is a practical problem. And I see the time is right on to this segment, so I don't want to rush it. So let's take a break. We come back, and I'll talk about the practical problems that you're talking about. And they're basically two, but they're big ones. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find Sane Sleep Systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Everyone, this is Sunny, the California girl from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. We're all champions in the ring, including all the hottest guys on American Adversary. Love ya.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, and we're talking about the president's offering. And by the way, the president, this was a very clever political move because, for one, he knew the Democrats weren't going to like this. So the chance of this passing is pretty slim. But what this does is it puts the onus on the Democrats. In other words, the president is showing, and by the way, you know, all the middle-of-the-road folks, they love this plan because it shows that the president is offering up an honest, workable solution. And so for the DACA people out there, as the Democrats say, well, the president just wants to hold you as a hostage and all this stuff. At some point, they look and they say, yeah, but he's offering us to be able to stay here. Why don't you take it? I talked on a show just 1 week ago about how Luis Gutierrez was talking about how he would build the wall if that's all it took. Well, you heard more of that this week if you listened to the liberal media. You heard liberal commentators talking about not the hosts of these CNN, MSNBC shows, but people they were interviewing, the DACA people, saying, look, if it's a wall that he wants, that's a small price to pay. So he's already turning the debate against the Democrats with this maneuvering. Now, in terms of the practicality, to round up 2-3 million of these people would be a monumental thing to do, all right, in terms of crime, of law and order, okay? Could be done.
It can be done, and it should be done.
And it's going to cost a lot of money. But here's the other reality, which is why the door was left open for so long anyway. Two things are happening to United States of America in terms of its population that are jeopardizing the economy. One, we're aborting babies like there's no tomorrow. And two, the population is aging. And so we're not replenishing the population. I've talked about this numerous times on the show before. We're killing our own population, and it's dying off, so we have to import people to keep the economy going.
That's fine.
No, it's not. What's not fine about it is if we take the effort to round up a huge part of the working population of the country, we, in essence, have no one to replace them with. This is a economic reality that we cannot escape.
It is not as huge a percentage as people are thinking, number one.
Yes, it is.
Number two, there are thousands, in fact, millions of people wanting to come here legally. And they cannot.
And it will take a long time to get them in.
Well, then, you know what? If it takes a while to get them in, so be it. Don't let people come in here illegally and take up positions from people who want to do things the right way.
All right. A lot of these dreamers, quote-unquote dreamers, want to do things the right way. At least 800,000 of them signed up because they wanted to do things the right way. Now, it just so happened that that right way was the wrong way to go about doing it because of the way Obama set it up. But if he had done it legislatively, it would be legal, and it would be far more permanent. Okay? So the fact of the matter is a lot of these people want to be here. They want to be citizens. They are citizens in every practical sense except the legal sense. Because they know no other life than this one here. Now, that's not all of them, but it is enough of them that you cannot make a blanket statement that they all need to be rounded up and shipped out.
All right.
Because a lot of them would have nowhere to go, and when they get there, there's no apparatus for
all right,
them there, and we're losing an asset.
So are we going to deport the parents? Oh, no, we've got to keep the family together. And so now we've got an extra bunch. Oh, and then we're looking at chain migration?
You don't understand. I guess you didn't see the bill. It ends chain migration.
Until the Democrats get into power.
Well, okay. So it doesn't matter then what we do. Because by that logic, when the Democrats get into power, they're going to do whatever they want, and that'll be the end of it. So why not just do nothing or do the worst? The bottom line is, both economically and politically speaking, it would be suicidal to round all of these people up and ship them out of the country. What we need to do is weed out the bad ones and keep the good ones. And that, in essence, is what this plan tries to do. All right? Because we need the good ones. We don't need the bad ones. But we have to be discriminating. We can't just round them all up and send them out. It would not work. So, it would not work economically, and it would not work, more importantly, politically.
So legal immigration is a joke.
No, it's not. It's not a joke at all. We have to get back to a situation where that is the only way you can get into the country. And in order to do that, we have to secure the border. All of this problem was created by an open border, was it not? An open border and an administration that was only too happy to have it open.
We had this problem once before, and that was with President Reagan, because he struck a deal with the Democrats, and the Democrats turned around and reneged on the deal.
No, the Democrats and the Republicans turned around and reneged on the deal, because the deal was to secure the border. Back then, all right, the border was never secured. The problem this time, for the people who think that will happen again, is Donald Trump. Donald Trump will build the wall. He will secure the border. And the mistake that had been made during that administration is so glaring that it would not be repeated. Now, in terms of extending beyond what is in this bill, that's where you have a legitimate argument, I believe, because you could take this 1.8 and say, okay, yeah, now we need to keep all their relatives and things like that. And so that would have to be clearly defined that in the case of a Dreamer, if any family is allowed to stay, it would be only the parents. And they would never be eligible to be citizens of the United States. And by the way, it's my understanding, and I have not read the entire thing. I don't know that it's actually been published. I'm talking about this plan. But it's my understanding that they cannot be burdens to the state in order to be participating in this. In other words, if they're just on welfare, they're subject to being deported. Now, you talked about they're being educated and things like this, and that being a burden on the state. I would argue that we need to define the word burden first, because if you're talking about educating people and their parents are here illegally, or they're providing for their own well-being other than education, I don't consider providing a free education through high school to be a burden on the state. Beyond high school, now you may be talking something like they're trying to do in New York.
Doesn't it cost money to educate through high school?
It does indeed. But this is where we have the opportunity to make these people into an American citizen. And once again, the fact of the matter is, if we don't have immigration, the economy will begin to shrink because we're not repopulating the nation naturally. We're aborting too many people.
This is part of Trump's plan with regards to legal immigration, that we pick and choose who we allow in.
Right.
All right.
And we pick and choose amongst those who are already here. Why would you want to send somebody out if they're a tremendous asset to the country? It seems to me that would be foolish. That is what I believe the expression is, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We want to throw out the dirty water, but we want to keep the jewels, so to speak. And there are jewels amongst these people, believe me. And there are people amongst these people who are conservative and who really want to be a good American. And why should we throw them out?
And so in 15 or 20 years' time, we're going to have the same issue, and we're going to have to give amnesty again because we've set a precedence.
Listen, if we don't secure the border, and if we elect people who will tear down whatever security that we have, it don't matter. We can't worry about then. We have to worry about now, okay? And if we do things right now, then we'll take care of itself, all right? But, yeah, we may go through this again, but we can't worry about that. We have to worry about now and doing it right this time. And that's what President Trump is trying to do. His whole logic behind this is so that we don't have to go through this again. Okay? Now, we can learn from our mistakes or we can repeat them. We'll see. But the bottom line is, this is a practical solution to a very, very difficult problem. Is it a solution that is going to make everyone happy? Nope. Is there a solution to this problem that will make everyone happy? Nope. But what we can do is get as much out of this that is right that we can. And if we can secure the border, I mean truly secure the border, in a way that will be very difficult, even for a future administration, to reverse that process, then it's worth keeping a few people here who will be an asset to us anyway. And if we can also do something about chain migration and this lottery migration nonsense, it goes right to the heart of what you want. And that is to have only people come to this country who want to go through the rigmarole that you had to go through.
Exactly.
And that's
those that have not gone through it, I want out.
Right. But that's not going to happen. It's just not. It's not a reality that I see happening. And once again, it's for political and economic reasons. And it's you know, at some point, you know, we're going to have to say we'll get as much as we can and give up as little as we can, knowing that we're not going to get everything and that we are going to have to get give up something.
All right. So those that came here on student visas, who have got an education, who have overstayed their visas, but they're not from South America.
This plan does not deal with that. That will have to be dealt with.
ICE will deal with them.
Well, that will have to be dealt with elsewise. But at this point, they're subject to being deported. So they can either get right or get out.
So what makes these others so special that they are treated differently to other educators?
Because they did not come here by their own choice. That's it. We'll be back. Show, ladies and gentlemen, for hour number three of the Sunday evening 3-hour classic tour with the American Adversaries, coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios. We'll be here, of course, until 8 o'clock, at which time Armed American Radio with Mark Walters takes over. And they were at the SHOT Show all week, so they all have a lot to talk about from that. Okay, got the firm foundation of the American Adversaries, one Aubrey Kahn in the studio with myself, Christopher Hart. And now Kathy Santomassino has just joined us in the studio. And our sunny California gorgeous lady of wrestling is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Her new job is requiring her to still be on duty. So we'll do that. Just one last thing as we're going out of the break there. The difference between a student overstaying a visa and these DACA people is presumably the DACA people did not come here of their own accord, and this is the only way of life many of them have known for most of their lives. So it's a tricky situation. I understand why it's frustrating, especially somebody had to work so hard to come here, but it's a situation that has no good solution, is the bottom line. So everybody's going to have to give a little bit. And we'll see if anything comes of it. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be surprised if anything does come of it. But we shall see. All right. So because Sonny will be joining us at the bottom of the hour, we're going to go right to Sunday's Odd Stories with Kathy Santomassino. Once again, if you didn't hear earlier in the show, also at the bottom of the hour, the last segment of the show, we're going to dedicate the whole segment to the Challenger disaster. We'll have the launch sequence for you, and then what President Reagan said that evening, famous speech of his. Oh, as many of them were. So now it is time for Sunday's Odd Stories. Kathy, what you got?
Well, you know, a great story from Saudi Sunny's. Arabia.
Did I say?
You said Sunny's.
Sunday's Odd Stories.
Oh, that's okay. he had too much gin yesterday, I believe.
It's coming out.
Got to him a little bit too, but anyway, that's another story.
Was that tequila toast?
That's a Sunday odd story about Saturday, but anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, from Saudi Arabia, some pageant contestants hit a hump in the road this week. That is, a camel beauty contest in Saudi Arabia disqualified a dozen camels for receiving Botox injections to make them more attractive.
To who?
Well, Saudi media reported that a veterinarian was caught performing plastic surgery on the camels a few days before the pageant. In addition to the injections, the clinic was surgically reducing the size of the animals' ears to make them appear more delicate. They used Botox for the lips, the nose, the upper lips, the lower lips, and even the jaw, according to Ali Al Mazrui, a regular at such festivals and the son of a prominent Emirati breeder. The festival provides a number of informative graphics about camels, including a diagram titled Standards of Camel Beauty. It is sadly unspecific about what makes for handsome nostrils and withers, though it does mention a leathery mouth. Camel owner Ali Obiad told The National that cheaters will get creative to get an edge and will alter an animal's appearance for months before it's sold to a buyer. For example, They start to pull the lips of the camel. This sounds like cruel and unusual punishment. They pull it by hand like this every day to make it longer, he explained. Secondly, they use hormones to make it more muscular, and Botox makes the head bigger and bigger. Everyone wants to be a winner. Well, real money is at stake, about $57 million to be exact, which is awarded to winners of the contests and camel races with more than $31.8 million in prizes just for the pageant. Among regulations about the age, breeding, and teething of the dromedaries, contest rules say in case of fraud, to change the natural form of participating camels, the participant shall be excluded immediately, with violators banned from this year's contest in the next five sessions of the festival, along with possible legal penalties for violating the kingdom's animal welfare laws. The beauty contest launched in 2000, and it is the centerpiece of the King Abdulaziz Camel Festival. And I tell you what, those Saudis mean business when it comes to their camels.
They couldn't have picked a more ornery, nasty creature just about than a camel. And no comments about their feet and digits on their feet either.
No comments. Well, from camels,
why are you looking at me?
From camels to cats, an Oregon man who was reported to police for driving with his leashed cat riding on the hood of his SUV said the feline enjoys taking low-speed rides. A video clip that went viral this week shows a leashed cat riding on the hood of a vehicle driving slowly through the parking lot of a Goodwill superstore last Monday evening. We thought it was a joke initially, just playing a prank on everybody. Taylor Lynn Manuel, who filmed the video, told a local TV station. Manuel said the witnesses initially thought the object on the hood was a stuffed cat, but they became concerned when they realized it was actually a real cat. Owner Jesse Dorsett said Pixie, a 4-year-old domestic short hair cat, and his two other cats often come along for the ride when he goes out on calls for his roadside assistant business. Okay. He said the felines often help comfort people who feel traumatized by road incidents. Can you see the road rangers doing this trick on I-4, Chris?
I don't know.
Anyway, Dorsett said he discovered Pixie, a consummate hunter, liked to climb up on the hood of the vehicle to scan for prey. And he said he started letting Pixie ride on the hood while he drives around parking lots at about 5 miles per hour so she can scan the grassy areas for rodents. So she's also a great exterminator. Dorsett said he always stops the vehicle if Pixie jumps off, and he or his wife hold on to the feline's leash until she is ready to leave. I have a problem with this story. I think it's more like
I get
potential
cats on
animal cruelty. If the cat were to fall underneath the car and they were to run it over, I don't know. The leash gets tangled.
Five miles an hour, and that's
that's
too fast,
pretty slow, but still, it's a bizarre sight.
I get cats on my hood all the time.
Yeah, well, that's while
because you drive a Jaguar and the insignia is on there, right?
That's while your car is parked.
Yeah.
Well, the storm drains of New Orleans got a thorough cleaning over the past few months, and among the trash and debris, workers found 93,000 pounds of Mardi Gras beads. City officials said Thursday, the 46 tons. Picture this, 46 tons of beads were all found in the popular downtown thoroughfare on St. Charles between Poydras Street and Lee Circle, according to reports. Overall, the $22 million three-month cleanup project yielded 7.2 million pounds of debris in the city drains. Once you hear a number like that, you never go back, so we have to do it better, said Danny Galloway, interim director of the city's Department of Public Works. I say New Orleans needs to come up with some biodegradable beads in their next Mardi Gras. What do you think, Chris?
I think they need to clean them things out every year, it sounds like.
Pretty
wow.
Nasty.
Yeah. Wonder how many pennies they found.
I don't know, but a Virginia man broke an unusual and painful Guinness World Record when he walked barefoot across a 120-foot path composed of loose Lego bricks. Russell Cassavaugh shed his shoes last Sunday at the Chesapeake Montessori School to walk across the 120-foot Lego path and break the 85-foot world record for a barefoot Lego walk. The successful attempt, which has been submitted to Guinness, was aimed at raising money for Fairy Bricks, a British charity that provides Lego sets to hospitalized children Don't know if you remember the story. Last November, Fairy Bricks made headlines when 2,000 Lego sets were stolen from one of the group's minivans.
So what's the big deal about walking over them?
And
have you ever tried walking on them barefoot?
They're very sharp. They're nubby. Very uncomfortable. Kind of like walking on rocks.
How far did he walk?
120 feet.
Oh, I could do better than
that.
That's not even half a football field.
Okay, we're going to enter you into the next Lego contest.
There you
go.
All right.
Well, a man using his video drone to take scenic video of a Utah valley captured the moment a territorial eagle knocked the device out of the sky. A video posted to YouTube by user High and Mighty Hikes shows what happened when the man attempted to use his GoPro Karma drone camera to take scenic video of Professor Creek near Moab. The video shows an eagle swoop down on the drone after only a little over a minute of flight and knock the device to the ground. Right about that time, I thought I should land, but the eagle had other plans. He nailed it so fast, all I saw was the drone go down from about 120 feet in the air, stated the drone operator. I watched this video, Chris, and it shows the sheer power and agility of our nation's iconic symbol.
Yeah, they're predators. Have you ever had that happen to one of your drones?
No, thank goodness.
Well, if you love auctions, which I know you do, Chris, this next story may interest you. Authorities in Florida are preparing to auction off a former developer's belongings, including stripper poles and a Velociraptor statue.
Velociraptor.
Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Velociraptor? Okay,
yeah.
I pronounced it wrong. That's why you're here, Chris.
Okay.
The Miami-Dade County Sheriff's Office is hosting an auction for the contents of two Star Island mansions that formerly belonged to Thomas Kramer to pay off his debt from a lawsuit brought by the heirs of his deceased father-in-law, Siegfried Otto. The items, which are being sold as a single lot in the February 14th auction, include two stripper poles on the 14-seat dining room table and statues, including a Velociraptor.
Velociraptor. Okay.
Okay.
Never mind. We know what you mean.
I can't pronounce it. That's all right. A rhinoceros, a mermaid, and the titular monsters from the Alien and Predator films. That's easy for me to say.
All right.
The lot also includes a coffin. Not sure if it was used or unused. A king-sized bed with chrome rings on its corner posts for sexual
things.
I'm going to try to keep this clean.
Innuendos.
Yeah, we get the idea.
For sexual bondage play and a golf cart.
And a golf cart.
Otto's heirs sued Kramer alleging
rings on the bed for a golf cart.
Millions of dollars to invest in South Beach real estate, and he never paid his then father-in-law back. Kramer claimed the money was a gift, not a loan, but he ultimately lost the case. Kramer, who now lives in Switzerland, says he was not bothered by the auction and losing his most prized possessions.
Okay, we're going to take a break while I get the location to put in a bid on that there. Oh, wait a minute. All right, anyway, we'll be back with more of the American Adversaries.
Apparently, some Democrats.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano.
It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
Hello, Florida. This is Mark Merrill. You may know me in wrestling as the star Johnny B. Bad. I listen to the American Adversaries, and you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my two-day fruit.
Here comes Johnny B. Bad.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. And once again, we're in the midst of Sunday's Odd Stories with Kathy Santomassino.
I didn't hear my Twilight Zone.
No, we've had some problems with the...
You're too far gone.
Yeah, well, I have Aubrey here. We'll That's enough, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, in another auction in Arizona, a 1969 Cadillac DeVille recognized as the Guinness World Record holder for world's fastest mobile hot tub was sold recently. The Carpool DeVille, created by Duncan Forrester and Phil Weaker, set the first hot tub land speed record at Speed Week in 2014 in Bonneville, Utah, where it reached a top speed of 160 miles per hour.
Mm.
The Carpool DeVille, which uses its V8 engine to heat the water in the passenger area to a temperature of 102 degrees, was awarded Guinness World Record status earlier this month and became one of the most attention-grabbing vehicles to hit the auction block during the weekend at the Barrett Jackson event in Scottsdale, Arizona. The car sold for $26,400 at the auction, despite a disclaimer on Barrett Jackson's listing stating vehicle cannot be registered or driven on any public roads. Unless you're in Vegas, I've seen crazier things in Vegas.
I have a solution for them, and if we have enough time, I'll tell it.
All right. Well, a stretch of highway in Illinois was closed for about an hour last Tuesday while crews worked to clear literally a large amount of cash from the roadway. The Illinois State Police said the cash, which was being transported in a black Ford passenger vehicle on behalf of a company that operates video gambling machines, spilled out onto Interstate 74 in Champaign County as a result of a crash. Trooper Tracy Lillard said the driver transporting the cash lost control of his vehicle, struck the right guardrail, and crashed into a Chevrolet Silverado pulling a flatbed trailer, sending both vehicles into the center median. The crash covered the roadway in $5, $10, and $20 bills. The stretch of road was closed for about an hour while crews swept up the banknotes. Thankfully, there were no serious injuries, but the driver of the Ford was cited for driving too fast for conditions.
Pennies from heaven, right?
Yeah, more like dollars from drivers. Well, the next story spotlights a dumb criminal with very fishy fingers. Police in Florida said they arrested a man who was caught on camera stealing exotic fish from a pet store by shoving them down his pants. The Clearwater Police Department said Cruz Garcia Jr.
Doesn't he understand they need water to survive?
Yeah, well, he's what did I say? He's a dumb criminal.
Okay.
Anyway, Cruz Garcia Jr. and accomplice Crystal Dixon walked into the Pet Safari store on January 9th, and Dixon quickly set about distracting store clerk Kayla Kraut. Kraut was able to get the license plate number of the pair's getaway vehicle and turned it over to police with the security camera footage. Garcia was arrested on a charge of petty theft, and police are still searching for Dixon. I think it's the first call you ever heard where somebody stuffs live fish down their pants and flees the scene, police spokesman Rob Shaw said. The store said the fish ranged in price from $18 to $20 each and have not been recovered.
I don't know. Did they
Can you imagine if he'd done that with a lobster with claws?
What do they
Never
say
mind.
About a fish out of water? Anyway, you've heard of the Tide Pod Challenge, haven't you?
What?
Oh.
The Tide Pod Challenge, where kids are eating the laundry detergent pods and posting on social media.
Yeah, they're stupid because the Walmart brand are cheaper.
Well, anyway, a New York pizzeria.
Stuff's poison.
A New York pizzeria is offering a non-toxic alternative to the Tide Pod Challenge.
Clorox.
With mini pizzas created to resemble the laundry detergent pods. Excuse me. Vinny's Pizzeria announced on Twitter that customers looking for an edible alternative to laundry detergent should order the eatery's Pied Pods.
Instead, huh?
Pied Pods.
Oh, Lord. What will kids do next, right?
I'm going to have to take it.
These guys are going to be voting.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. That's why I say, you see, the problem with the DACA kids isn't the DACA kids. It's that they were educated in our schools. Not to make light of it. By the way, Kathy was talking about that Poole DeVille. I said I'd come up with a solution for them where that they can take it where they can actually derive it. Do you know where there is huge demand for American classic cars?
In China.
Nope. I'm talking about, you know, 60s, 70s power automobiles, like if you got an old Impala or
Cuba.
A Buick Skylark. Nope.
There's plenty in Cuba.
Buick
What's
Skylark,
left?
Impalas, that old Nova. If you can get it over to, get this, Iraq.
Oh, no.
There is huge demand for American classic cars. It is like the status symbol in Iraq to be driving an old Chevy Impala. How about that?
Who
knew? All right, they can drive the Poole DeVille there, I'm sure.
Got me all choked up. Anyway, the restaurant tweeted, "We're concerned about the youths. They're eating laundry detergent pods. Our Pied Pods have that bright, alluring color that youths crave but are 100% edible and 100% not soap. Plus, they're delicious." The American Association of Poison Control Centers said recently that there has been a sharp increase in calls stemming from intentional exposure to laundry pods after the Tide Pod Challenge went viral on social media. Social networks have been cracking down on posts that appear to promote consumption of the toxic laundry detergent pods, leading to Instagram repeatedly deleting photos of the Pied Pods posted to Vinny's Pizzeria's official account. Sean Berthiaume, owner of Vinny's, said the idea came to him in a dream and is not encouraging anyone to eat soap. "I have to say, this guy took a crazy fad and turned it into a brilliant marketing campaign."
All right, cool.
And last but not least, to close out my segment tonight, I have some weird trivia that's really funny, and I thought you'd appreciate this, Chris.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
All right. Cows moo with regional accents.
Ha!
The Supreme Court has its own private basketball court on the top floor of the U.S. Supreme Court building. And what's its nickname? The highest court in the land.
Oh, get out of here.
Walmart has a lower acceptance rate than Harvard. Harvard's acceptance rate is 8.9%, and Walmart's is only 2.6% of total applicants.
I can see that, yeah.
You're twice as likely to be killed by a vending machine than a shark.
Good thing you're on this diet there, Aubrey.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about that.
If you put some Viagra in a vase, the flowers will stand straight up for a week longer before they would normally wilt.
No, get out. That's a joke.
True.
No, it's not.
There's a highway in Lancaster, California that plays the William Tell Overture or the theme from The Lone Ranger whenever cars drive over it at 55 miles per hour. Did you know lobsters have bladders on either side of their heads and communicate by urinating on other lobsters?
Well, that goes without saying.
Dolly Parton once entered a celebrity look-alike contest at a club in San Francisco without revealing her identity and lost to a drag queen.
She lost.
And when high heels came into fashion in the 10th century, they were intended for men. It wasn't until the 18th century that more women wore heels than men. And that's SOS News for Sunday, January 28th.
Oh, thank God for the 18th century. That's all I got to say about that. Mm. Okay. We've all heard, you know, the 36, 24, 36.
I used to be that shape.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter anymore whether you're 36, 24, 36. 20,
or 65. Or it doesn't matter that Social Security is going to run out.
Or 24, 36, 65. It's all worth big bucks. Did you know that your measurements are in extreme demand?
I knew that. Yeah.
perhaps not in the way that I'm talking about. companies want your measurements, and they're willing to pay big bucks to get them. And it's because more and more stuff is being sold online. Now are these rental clothes. Have you heard of these things?
I would never rent clothes.
But it's
well, but they rent wedding dresses.
You never,
what's the
you
difference?
Never know where they've been.
But the bottom line is they want people's measurements. It's as valuable to them now, evidently, as your buying.
Where do I sign up and how much do they pay?
As your buying habits.
Well, but Americans are getting fatter, right, Aubrey?
No.
I'm not.
He's getting skinnier. He's lost 13 pounds
wow.
this week. But see, now you're going to pose a problem for people like this.
No, because I'll get paid three or four times.
No, I'm not kidding, though. The people like at the clothing places and tailors and stuff, if they're taking your measurements, there's a good chance they're selling those measurements. And
well, why aren't the airlines taking note? Because the seats on airplanes are getting smaller.
They do that for a reason, so you have to upgrade.
What you want to bet that they might be one of the organizations that want to buy these measurements. All right, so anyways, doesn't matter what your measurements are, there's somebody out there who wants to get their hands on them.
I'm sure.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Sonny's going to join us for a little while, and then don't forget, our final segment tonight, we're dedicating to all astronauts who have died in the line of space exploration. And, of course, today is the anniversary of the Challenger disaster. As Aubrey mentioned, do you remember where you were? Anyway, tonight we'll have a special dedication. We'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Gordon Griffin. Seeking to move past the shadow of the Russia investigation, President Donald Trump intends to use his first State of the Union address to cite economic progress under his watch while pushing for bipartisanship with Democrats on issues such as rebuilding roads and bridges. The White House said Sunday that the president would point to a robust economy and low unemployment during his first year. Two Republican senators say that President Trump would be wise to keep a public silence on an independent investigation into his 2016 campaign's contacts with Russia in the wake of news reports that he sought to fire the special counsel. Senators Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and Susan Collins of Maine on Sunday also urged special counsel Robert Mueller to review whether Mr. Trump tried to fire him last June. The president has labeled those reports as fake news. This is SRN News.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepard, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
This is former professional wrestler Roxy Astor. I love to wrestle, especially when it comes to politics. For the best in political professional wrestling, I listen to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer, WORL. I'd go to the mat with these guys any day.
Eat oranges, apples, grapefruit.
Apples are good.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you are listening to The American Adversaries. We're in the last half of our final hour of the show tonight. Don't forget, of course, we'll be back tomorrow night. Abe Katzman will be joining us. And Friday, coming up, thanks to Kathy here, we got Corey Lewandowski going to be
That's
on the
right.
show. Yes, sirree. So that ought to be an interesting interview.
And some book giveaways. And...
Yep, we'll have some books to give away. So you'll definitely want to tune in for that. While we're trying to get Sonny on the line, I just want to remind you, in the final segment of the show, we're going to dedicate it to the fallen astronauts. And, of course, Challenger was 32 years ago today, the Challenger disaster. And so what we're going to do is we're going to play the launch sequence. It takes about 4 minutes or so to hear the launch and through the explosion. And which wasn't really an explosion. It was just basically the craft was ripped apart and the fuel burned when that happened. But the and then we're going to follow that with President Reagan's speech from the Oval Office that night. And so that will be the final segment of the show. So when we take the commercial break, that's going to be it for us tonight. But certainly want you to stick around for that final segment of the show. I mean... can't ever go wrong listening to Ronald Reagan, and it was one of his more powerful speeches.
Difficult days.
Yeah, it was a powerful speech.
History.
Yeah, absolutely. So please do stick around for that. Once again, we're trying to get Sunny on the line. She's got a new job out there in California, though. So the time just kind of bled over one into the other. While we're working on that. You know, a lot of states have legalized marijuana for either medical reasons or the recreational purposes. That's right. Of course, you know, there's now the attorney general has said he's instructed his attorney generals around the country to once again use their prosecutorial discretion as to prosecuting marijuana crimes, that it is still a federal crime. And furthermore, it is still a federal crime to own a gun while you have marijuana. So they may start cracking down on guns if they know that they are in the hands of someone, say, who has a marijuana medical license, or a license to smoke or use medical marijuana. So... that's another little wrinkle in the whole thing there that for folks in these states like
There's
Colorado.
There's a lot of wrinkles in the
world. Yeah, well, this is another
There's
one.
There's no cohesiveness from state to state, which makes it really hard with the federal mandate because federal DOT requirements will never approve of medical marijuana for any over-the-road drivers.
We don't know never, but certainly at this point that appears to be the case. Not appears to be. It is definitely the case and appears to be the case going forward. This whole issue raises a number of complications is what Kathy's talking about because there is no universal law governing this. The universal law, actually there is, but the universal law governing it is now contrary to these state laws. In other words, the federal law still classifies marijuana amongst one of the worst drugs. And that aside, it means that federal laws can still be enforced even in states where the state law has changed. And that, of course, would apply now also to weapons. As I was saying earlier, that tonight we're recognizing astronauts who were killed in space exploration, whether it was on the planet or not. We've lost a number of astronauts. But now there are a lot more people in the space business. And one of them is Elon Musk. Mm-hmm. Have you seen his latest toy that he's come out with?
That flamethrower?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what in the world are you going to do with a flamethrower?
Well, I don't know. It's just another weapon, right?
It looks like...
Sold in gun stores everywhere.
Well, we don't know. First, there had to be 50,000 hats sold. Evidently, all the hats were sold. I don't know.
Hats? Are you talking about those pink vagina hats?
I don't know what hats they were.
Watch your mouth.
They were all sold, whichever hat that was. And he promised to sell these flamethrowers if the hats were sold. How you get from electric cars to flamethrowers, I don't know, because evidently they burn propane, I guess. They look like a...
Well, you get from electric cars to rockets. Hey,
I guess. They look like a highfalutin propane lighter. I mean, the flame obviously doesn't come out as far as the World War II flamethrowers, but nonetheless, somebody could be up... So one of these in the wrong person's hand could definitely... torch some people.
Yeah, he's kind of an eccentric millionaire, billionaire, whatever.
South Africans are eccentric.
I don't trust his judgment, I'll be honest with you.
I want to see what the gun control advocates have to say about flamethrowers.
Yeah, I think it's going to be used mainly for people like forestry to create...
They already have things that they use
they don't need
burns with.
I mean,
well, but you know, it's... You update your equipment, do you not?
I guess so.
Flamethrowers seem to be kind of primitive, in my opinion.
All right. And then there is the verbal flamethrowers, like us around here, right?
Me?
I said us.
No,
I didn't say which us.
Oh, yeah, but you pointed at me.
How about that Clint Eastwood?
Oh, I love that guy.
His latest movie, let me see if I can pull up the title of it here. His latest movie has to do, do you remember that I think it was Paris train terrorist attack where there were a couple of special operators on there and they attacked
they
the attacker?
A terrorist attack.
He's produced
a movie
about this.
Right.
It's been produced. It's already in the can, so to speak. It was going through editing and it had received an R rating. And the reason that the rating agency gave for the rating was that it was supposedly because of the violence that the movie is depicting. And evidently there is the violent scene where the terrorists are doing their thing and these guys attack the terrorist. But really what they were upset about is that it appears to be a recruiting tool. That he's trying to recruit people, you know, to be...
Join the armed services.
Right. And so he went before the board, and this very rarely happens that anybody even appeals a rating, much less wins the appeal. Well, he went before the ratings board, gave him his fire, and he won the appeal. And the movie will no longer be rated R. It will be rated... PG-13. So we'll see how the movie does at the box office. I hope that it does very well. I'm afraid I do not have the movie's name in front of me, but we'll find out about it. Once again, we're coming up on the break. This is going to be it for us tonight, but we want you to stay here to hear the launch sequence of the Challenger, and then the president's speech that night from the Oval Office after the Challenger accident. By the way, Krista McAuliffe's lessons that she was taking to space with her that day are finally going to make it to space and to the space station. Anyway, we'll be seeing you tomorrow night. But once again, please stick around. This is dedicated now to the victims, I should say, the people who have died in space exploration. Night, everybody.
Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
800-800-0254. Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find Sane Sleep Systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress, and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
T-minus 21 seconds, and the solid rocket booster engine gimbal now underway. T-minus 15 seconds. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. We have main engine start. 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff. Liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
Challenger. Control program confirmed. Challenger now heading downrange. Engines beginning throttling down now at 94%. Normal throttles for most of the flight, 104%. We'll throttle down to 65% shortly. 65%, three engines running normally, three good fuel cells, three good APUs. Velocity, 2,257 feet per second. Altitude, 4.3 nautical miles. Downrange distance, 3 nautical miles.
So the 25th Space Shuttle mission is now on the way after more delays than NASA cares to count. This morning, it looked as though they were not going to be able to get off.
15 seconds. Velocity 2,900 feet per second. Altitude 9 nautical miles. Downrange distance 7 nautical miles.
Looks like a couple of the solid rocket boosters blew away from the side of the shuttle in an explosion.
Looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction. We have no downlink.
Waiting word. They're holding their breath, just I'm sure as everyone else is. You saw it just a few moments ago, about 45 seconds after liftoff, a huge fireball in the sky.
We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point. Contingency procedures are in effect. We will report more as we have information available. Again, to repeat, we have a report relayed through the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. We are now looking at all the contingency operations and awaiting word from any recovery forces in the downrange field.
In what appears to be a major catastrophe in America's space program, Challenger, only seconds after leaving the launch pad, according to NASA, has exploded in midair. No word yet on if there are any survivors.
The presidential years, 1986.
1986 was a year of many challenges. The Republicans lost control of the Senate, making progress on tough issues even more unlikely with the Democrats now controlling both houses of Congress. My meeting with Gorbachev in Iceland ended in disappointment. And what's more, there was the Iran-Contra controversy. On the upside, we passed some historic tax reform legislation and rededicated Lady Liberty in one of the most breathtaking ceremonies I've ever seen. But of course, what shocked and saddened the nation most was the explosion of the space shuttle, the Challenger, on January 28. The sight of the Challenger exploding is seared into each of our minds. A few days after the explosion, I attended a memorial service in Houston for the crew. I stood next to Jane Smith, the wife of Michael Smith, one of the crewmen on the Challenger. She gave me a most remarkable gift, a 3x5 card that her husband had written before the flight and left on the bedroom dresser. He wrote about the importance of their mission. It was such a personal, generous gift that I didn't feel right keeping it. I made a copy and gave her back the original. I'll never forget her generosity in offering me that part of her husband's final days.
Nationwide television address, the Oval Office, January 28th, 1986.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd planned to speak to you tonight to report on the State of the Union, but the events of earlier today have led me to change those plans. Today is a day for mourning and remembering. Nancy and I are pained to the core by the tragedy of the Shuttle Challenger. We know we share this pain with all of the people of our country. This is truly a national loss. 19 years ago, almost to the day, we lost three astronauts in a terrible accident on the ground. But we've never lost an astronaut in flight. We've never had a tragedy like this. And perhaps we've forgotten the courage it took for the crew of the shuttle. But they, the Challenger 7, were aware of the dangers and overcame them and did their jobs brilliantly. We mourn seven heroes: Michael Smith, Dick Scobie, Judith Resnick, Ronald McNair, Ellison Onizuka, Gregory Jarvis, and Krista Mikulov. We mourn their loss as a nation together. The families of the seven, we cannot bear, as you do, the full impact of this tragedy. But we feel the loss, and we're thinking about you so very much. Your loved ones were daring and brave, and they had that special grace, that special spirit that says, "Give me a challenge, and I'll meet it with joy." They had a hunger to explore the universe and discover its truths. They wished to serve, and they did. They served all of us. We've grown used to wonders in this century. It's hard to dazzle us. But for 25 years, the United States space program has been doing just that. We've grown used to the idea of space, and perhaps we forget that we've only just begun. We're still pioneers. They, the members of the Challenger crew, were pioneers. And I want to say something to the school children of America who were watching the live coverage of the shuttle's takeoff. I know it's hard to understand, but sometimes painful things like this happen. It's all part of the process of exploration and discovery. It's all part of taking a chance and expanding man's horizons. The future doesn't belong to the faint-hearted. It belongs to the brave. The Challenger crew was pulling us into the future, and we'll continue to follow them. I've always had great faith in and respect for our space program, and what happened today does nothing to diminish it. We don't hide our space program. We don't keep secrets and cover things up. We do it all up front and in public. That's the way freedom is, and we wouldn't change it for a minute. We'll continue our quest in space. There will be more shuttle flights and more shuttle crews, and yes, more volunteers, more civilians, more teachers in space. Nothing ends here. Our hopes and our journeys continue. I want to add that I wish I could talk to every man and woman who works for NASA or who worked on this mission and tell them your dedication and professionalism have moved and impressed us for decades, and we know of your anguish. We share it. There's a coincidence today. On this day, 390 years ago, the great explorer Sir Francis Drake died aboard ship off the coast of Panama. In his lifetime, the great frontiers were the oceans, and a historian later said he lived by the sea, died on it, and was buried in it. Well, today, we can say of the Challenger crew, their dedication was, like Drake's, complete. The crew of the Space Shuttle Challenger honored us for the manner in which they lived their lives. We will never forget them, nor the last time we saw them, this morning, as they prepared for their journey and waved goodbye and slipped the surly bonds of Earth to touch the face of God. Thank you.
Throughout the 80s, American citizens and interests had been hit hard by terrorists. There had been kidnappings in Beirut, bombings in Rome, and hijackings in Greece.
Okay, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We got a little time mix-up there, but you got the gist of it, right? The whole point to play all of that was to remind you of what it was like back then. And, of course, Ronald Reagan always had the right things to say at the right time. And, of course, this speech was no different. And the Gipper, you know, really set the mood right for the nation that night. You know, that night he was scheduled to give the State of the Union address. You heard him refer to it at the beginning of his remarks there. And, of course, Tuesday night, President Trump will give his first State of the Union address. And, obviously, he won't have this sort of thing to deal with. But, nonetheless, he does have some hostile characters out there to deal with. But we wanted to dedicate that to the, as I said, all of the astronauts, including Soviet astronauts, who died in the quest for space exploration. Because it was one of the few things that, even though much of space exploration was predicated by research into missile technology to deliver weapons, it also evolved into technology which in many ways brought humans together in this planet because we could all see the planet from a different perspective and understand that we're all on a very, 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 very tiny little speck of dust, if you will, in the overall scheme of the universe. And certainly the Apollo astronauts, with their perspective of looking back at the Earth from the moon, the only astronauts who really left the atmosphere of the Earth, once again, it really gave us a different perspective on who we were and who we are as human beings and what we can do either with each other or to each other. So as we now move on, and then the Columbia disaster once again is coming up soon. We remember that as well. But once again, tonight dedicated to the pioneers of space travel. Once again, we would like you to follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. Kathy does a great job keeping that up to date and relevant and informative and entertaining. So that's American Adversaries on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Hart Radio. I'm tweeting pretty regularly. I retweet a lot of stuff, and I retweet stuff that I like that I think would be informative and things that if you're following me that you will find relevant and, as I said, informative. That's Chris Hart Radio on Twitter. And finally, you can join the American Adversaries Army by going to our website. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. All of our sponsors are also there with ads that if you click on those ads, it'll take you to their website. You can, as I said, join the American Adversaries Army there. It's real easy to do. You can check out our archive there and listen to old shows. If you haven't heard our election night coverage from the 2016 election night, you definitely need to check that out. And also, you can send me emails, compliments, or I should say via that website. That's AmericanAdversaries.com. Okay, once again, Mark Walters comes up next with Armed American Radio. Those guys were out at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas all week, where all the big gun manufacturers and clothing manufacturers and basically anything to do with the outdoors, they're there at the SHOT Show. It's a week-long annual event, and it's huge. And I don't think it's open to the public. But anyway, they'll be talking about it tonight on their show. So stick around for that coming up here at 8 o'clock. And then don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be here again at 5 o'clock. And Abe Katzman will be joining us live from Jerusalem. Got some interesting news percolating out of the Middle East, as it almost always seems to be. So that'll be tomorrow night with Abe Katzman. And also, if you'll join us on Friday this week, Corey Lewandowski is going to be on the show. We'll be talking about the book that he co-authored with David Bossie about the Trump campaign. And, of course, it's called Let Trump Be Trump. They've sent us a handful of books that we'll be giving away that night, too. So that ought to be a fun night. And, of course, we'll talk to him about things that have happened after the election. But if it's a great book, and if you don't happen to get your hands on it, because we'll be giving them away that night, you definitely want to go out and buy one. It's a great read, and really gives you some great insights into what it was like behind the scenes in the Trump campaign as he began his quest to make America great again. All right, once again, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thank you for sticking around and listening to the whole show. We really do appreciate that, and this time it's for real. Night, everybody.
Views, opinion, passion. FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group. It's 8 o'clock.